Back here on National Geographic Weekend, I'm Boyd Mattson. We're talking with Ray Zahab, who is regaling us with stories of extreme adventure. He and a couple of other guys, one we've talked to on the show before, Charlie Engel, ran 4,300 miles across the Sahara Desert from Senegal to Egypt, running through every country that the desert touches. But most recently, he went to the coldest desert, Antarctica, and that was about 700 miles, but he was going from the coast to the geographic South Pole, and he and his team did it in a record time. They broke the record by 5 days. They did it in 33 days, 23 hours, and 55 minutes. Ray.
Yes, sir.
To train for all of this, I mean, to prepare for this, as a youngster, you essentially had a life of cigarettes and beer.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, that's always the part that surprises people, but really, truly, I didn't start any sort of serious, quote-unquote, physical activity until 2000. I'm one of these former pack-a-day smokers, couch potatoes, sedentary lifestyle, partying, you know, that kind of a guy. And, you know, there was a switch was flicked, I guess you could say, in my life when I was 30, and I decided that I no longer wanted to treat my body this way. I no longer wanted to live my life in the direction that I was living, and I had to make some decisions, and something had to be done. And the reason I chose sport is because my brother was such a great athlete and had made a similar transition years before, and I decided to follow in his footsteps because I figured I had nothing to lose. And it was a simple decision like that, and the joke is with my friends, I never went back inside. But I didn't start running until late 2003. It was the one sport that totally eluded me. Of all the sports my brother did, and I love them all, I hated running. So I chose mountain biking. That was the sport that I became very fit and very active and really was able to put all of my energy into from 2000 to 2003. But running, forget it. And it was reading an article about ultramarathoners that really piqued my interest and really drove me to want to try doing an ultramarathon. And that's what I did. Long story short, I not only finished my first ultramarathon, but I won it. And I thought, oh, my God, this is something. You know, here I am, 35 at this point.
What was the first one?
It was the Yukon Arctic Ultra Marathon, and it was 100 miles nonstop in, of course, the Yukon, and it takes place in February. Every February, and you drag a sled, again, similar to, I guess you could say, the South Pole, you drag a sled with everything you need in this to complete the entire distance of the race.
And how long does that take in February in the Yukon for 100 miles?
Well, it took me, let's see, running 24 hours and something, let's say 24 and a half hours, just for the sake of saying, and then there was a four-hour mandatory gear check, so 28 and a half hours if you included everything.
That's unbelievable. Now, had you ever run a regular marathon, 26 miles and
no,
change?
No, I'd never run any sanctioned running races at all. I'd never even ran a local 5K, of which there was plenty. But
the first race you enter is 100 miles in the Yukon in the winter, and you enter it and win it.
Yes, that is what happened. But I realized something. When I finished this race, I realized, in reflecting back to the magazine that I'd read, I realized that indeed we are all pretty much made of the same stuff. I mean, really, the fact that I decided to enter this and do this thing and prepare for it as best I possibly could in the limited amount of time I had was a decision that once I made that decision in my mind, I set my mind to it and my heart, and I was totally going to make this my life and do this thing, this one thing, that I could pretty much achieve anything if I really set my mind to it. And,
well,
and
right,
not to fast
right.
forward
I just,
and to change the subject, but that's what we're trying to do with Impossible to Possible, is to show these young people these things that I and my teammates are learning. I'm 40 and I'm learning these things. Can you imagine, as I say, being 13 and being able to sort of say, wow, you know what? My limits are endless. I mean, I can do so many things in my life if I really apply myself and try.
Well, Ray, you're absolutely right on this one statement. By the way, we're talking with Ray Zahab here on National Geographic Weekend about his extreme adventures. You are absolutely right. We're all made of the same stuff. Here's the problem, though. In many of us, that same stuff is packaged in different amounts.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have an excess of the wrong amounts, and then it's not put together in a way that functions the same in all of us. So you've got to be slightly gifted.
So what I say to people is this, too, when I'm speaking. I tell the story of running the Sahara and all of these incredible things that I've been so blessed to do in my life. And it's in a short period of time, right? 7 years from the day I butt out the cigarette, my last cigarette, till the day I put my hands in the Red Sea, roughly, give or take a few days, 7 years. And I say, this is not about running. For me, it was about running. But I really, really, truly believe that, is that, you know, within all of us, is the capacity to do something in our lives that's the Sahara or that's Antarctica. It doesn't necessarily have to be the running. So, yes, I'll give you that. I mean, it just so happens to be, you know, I discovered that I can run really, really far. I mean, that's what I'm good at, right? But we all have that something. It's just determining what it is and going for it, you know?
Here's the deal. You obviously had, well, I don't know if you had an addiction, but you had some, what shall we say, vices. You were smoking more than you should. Well, you're smoking, so that's more than you should if you're smoking at all. And you were drinking a bit of beer. Well, that is hard on the body. But you have replaced it by these extreme adventures, which are also hard on the body. So which is doing the more damage to you?
You know, that's a good question, too. I mean, it was so funny. I had this conversation with someone the other day. We had finished a really long run, and I had said that, you know, sometimes it makes you wonder at the end of these really long runs how beat up I feel, you know, which is worse. But I got to tell you, there is no doubt that no matter what the physical implications are of what I'm doing right now, it has totally changed the direction of my life and the reasons why I do things and the way I look at the world. So even from a mental perspective, it has been so healthy for me. I remember what it felt like, you know, on New Year's Eve 1999, how I felt about myself and everything else in my life when I butted that cigarette out. And I can tell you how I feel now, you know, in 2009, and it's completely different. I feel like a different person. And so for me, these things in this journey, this very physical, it would appear, journey has also been a very mental and emotional one.
And if people want to follow your events and they want to see the program you're working with the kids, they can go to Impossible and then the number 2, Possible.
You got Impossible, number2possible.com, and we have a very exciting event coming up where we decided with the South Pole Expedition, we had incredible reach. I mean, we had something like, as I said, 3,000 kids a day were following the expedition. You know, it was a phenomenal success from a standpoint of getting the message out there and telling stories and sharing with people around the world. It was covered internationally in the media, which was very exciting for us and for the schools that were on board. Now, the next expedition, we decided to take it a step further. We selected 5 young people from across North America, and they will be trekking across Baffin Island with us this fall. And so we'll be reaching back into the schools. And I think at last count, we have 4,600 students registered follow this expedition on a day-to-day basis. That'll be happening in September. So,
we want you to check in with us at the end of it and tell us how the kids did. And by the way, for those kids out there that go on this with you, they'll probably say, all right, next time I'll just do my regular homework. Because
exactly,
it's a lot easier to crack the books. I think it's great what you're doing and the inspiration that you're offering to the kids that get to follow along on these expeditions and see that anything is possible. And of course, you're taking it to a new level. And now, after talking to you, and I talked to Charlie a couple of weeks ago about his recent race at Badwater. And so he has convinced me that I'm going to have to enter Badwater this coming summer. I'm going back into training. And you said you are the guy who could give me advice. But now after listening to your stories, I really don't want any advice from you, right?
Never say never. You might be calling me asking for it.
Thanks very much. It's great talking with you.
Thank you so much.
Are you ready for a celebration? Because this is the year, 2009, is the year of the gorilla. So how do you celebrate for the gorilla? Well, try this. You go, beat your chest and go, hoo, 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 hoo. Get ready to party. That's all coming up next when we head to Gabon in the year of the gorilla right here on National Geographic Weekend on the Salem Radio Network. I'm Boyd Matson.